Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Hit it! Na 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 na.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in about a half hour, we'll be joined by the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo. Plenty to discuss with him. Of course, we'll get his perspective on Jack Caglione's promotion from AA to AAA. Cags will make his AAA debut tonight for the Omaha Storm Chasers, so we'll ask him about that. Obviously, what we continue to see from Chris Bubich, and is there any indication maybe on a timeline for both Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo, who are on the IL, and what that could be like in terms of the next couple weeks, or is it further than that in terms of their return to the rotation? So plenty to get into with JJ Piccolo. We'll obviously talk Royals throughout the entire show after they got game one of this series against the Giants late last night. Kind of a weird game. You also had a home run that not everybody saw. It was a bizarre night. But you know, sometimes, as you guys know from many, many years ago as well, sometimes the West Coast Royals games, and those of you that maybe are still up watching, and if you maybe happen to be on social media, some of those are the ones where the weird stuff happens. And last night, I will categorize as one of the weird ones, especially because Vinny Pasquantino's home run, not everybody saw. Technical
I don't know who did see it. It didn't seem like anyone in Kansas City.
Yeah, that was something.
That was my favorite moment somehow of the entire game, because it makes no sense that that's the moment it would go out. The Royals don't score that many runs, FanDuel. I'd like to see them when they happen. Here, let me just play the highlight of Vinny hitting the homer off of FanDuel. Nothing. Crickets. It just said technical difficulties and what I can only describe as a Cold War era graphic from the 50s or 60s. I think you sent it out. Multiple other people sent it out. Everyone's having the same problem. But
yeah, anybody that was
funny.
Funny. I feel like anybody that was in market watching on the FanDuel app or whatever ran into that. And then they did, of course, eventually show a replay of it. But it was just, and thank goodness, by the way, thank goodness it was a home run for the Royals, because at least that one, like you can joke about it. If it was the Giants hitting a go-ahead home run, then you're pissed.
Just also annoying. Versus I'm like, all right, Vinny Homer, yay.
Yeah, it's a little bit different in that case. But the story, though, on the serious note from last night, I think is clearly yet again what they continue to get from Chris Bubich, because he was stellar. He had a no-hitter at one point in time. Then there was a little bit of the controversy with the Massey error slash hit. It ended up being ruled a hit. Ultimately, that was not the only hit of the game, so it didn't become an even bigger deal. But Chris Bubich has the fourth lowest ERA in all of baseball now after he pitched last night. He has a 1.47 ERA. He's tied for fifth, I guess, as well. He's tied with a pitcher for the Rangers as well. But last night, seven innings, two hits, three walks, five Ks. He's been their best pitcher in 2025, and what a turnaround for his career this has been. We saw glimpses last year of why everybody's starting to get excited again, but you think about where he was once at and viewed as a prospect and everything, and now he's pitching like the guy everybody hoped he could have been or would be. And he's 5-2 with a 1.47 ERA. He is only behind, you know, guys like Max Fried and Hunter Brown in terms of ERA. He still somehow is 40-1 to win Cy Young. I think there's some reason behind that. Innings limitation maybe catches up to him later on in the season. But that's pretty amazing right now, man. When Reagans and Lugo are unavailable, and when Reagans hasn't had that great of a year to this point in time by his standard, who steps up? Michael Lorenzen's done it, and Chris Bubich has stepped up and been one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, and we're a week away from Memorial Day.
So Chris Bubich obviously didn't really start for the Royals last year because of the major league level, because the pitching limit that you're mentioning and coming off the injury and all this other stuff. But this is back-to-back guys that were drafted by Dayton Moore, that they had a lot of high hopes in. Yep. In Brady Singer and Chris Bubich, they eventually found some major league success in working around what they are. Chris Bubich is a very serious Cy Young contender now. I'm not saying he's the favorite, nor should he be the favorite. Yep. There are guys who have significantly better odds to win the award, including Scooble, who, that makes sense, or Garrett Crochet, or some of the other names that you would expect to be near the top of the Cy Young award-winning list.
His numbers are better than some of those guys, but that's not how this usually works, because this early on with the odds market, because there's the expectation, hey, I've seen Scooble do it for a full year, and people are going to want to see if Chris Bubich can keep it up. If you think he can keep it up, you can get a 40-1 bet on him. He's actually, no joke, Cody, literally in the last 20 minutes, the odds have changed. He was 40-1 when we last checked this. He's now 32-1. So his odds have improved.
I guess everyone decided to go bet it.
He's got the same odds as Brian Wu, who's a pitcher out in Seattle. And then he's behind for the AL Cy Young, Jacob DeGrom, Evaldi, Crochet, Max Fried, Hunter Brown, and then Scooble. Those are guys in front of him. And he's got, again, it's not that he doesn't have better numbers than some of them. It's just some of it's name recognition, too. I bet you outside of Kansas City, and he's got a chance to change this by if he keeps pitching this well. Outside of Kansas City, how many people know the name Chris Bubich? And that's where the odds market is right now.
That's part of the reason why. But again, like you said, if he keeps pitching like this, everyone will know his name by the end of the year. He is pitching, and none of this is not sustainable, what he's doing, right? The strikeouts are there. The innings are there. This is the thing that'll actually really hold up. Like, he's not walking too many hitters, not giving up home runs, all the things you would worry about over the course of time. The thing that's going to hurt him is what you mentioned, which is if you bet him to win the Cy Young and August 15th hits and they're trying to manage his innings, then what do you do? Then what do you do? And if you're the Royals, if he's going to pitch like this all year, you have to save those innings in the middle of the year. Because I sure as hell don't want somebody pitching like this not available in the postseason, Gold.
Right.
Like, I mean, you got to manage it kind of in the middle.
And that's where I wonder if they'll try to steal a start at some point. Well, only way you can do that, though, you need a healthy Lugo and Reagans in your rotation. Because if you're already down two guys in your rotation,
you can't skip
a Chris Bubich start. So at some point, I think they would like to be able to steal one by skipping them and save seven innings here, save seven innings there kind of thing for what you're saying, which is if this team is in the postseason like we all hope they're going to be, you obviously would want this guy being your, game two start, whatever. That's whatever you would want to lay out for your rotation. He would obviously be a huge part of that the way he is pitching. He's been one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. And he did it, of course, in front of a lot of family, I know, last night, too. There at Oracle Park, and what was a fun game. I know, some people are like, there's not a lot of offense, it's boring, and obviously the offense continues to still be a problem, but that was a hell of a baseball game last night. That was a great game.
Royals win every game 2-1 or 3-1. Yeah. They have 11 wins this year, scoring three or less runs. Mm-hmm. 11? That's way too many. It's also impressive, for what it's worth, and I'm with you. I thought the game was entertaining despite that. Look, Robbie Ray and Chris Bubich have been two of the better pitchers in baseball this year. So when I go in expecting a pitcher's duel, it's easier to swallow. Look, when it's no name, Jack Smith from whatever's team making with his career 6.5 ERA and he's carving up the Royals, I'm not enjoying myself as much. When it's Robbie Ray, I don't have nearly as big of an issue. This is what, I mean, again, what stands out the most about it is that last year they had two guys finishing the top five in the Cy Young. Those guys are unavailable. And this year they have another guy who looks like he is barreling towards, finishing towards the top five in the Cy Young. Now, it's very early still. He's only about a 30% of the way, a third of the way or whatever through his season. But at this point, he's been one of the three best starters in all of baseball. And so, yeah, that was it. There was other two notes in the game that I really did enjoy. One was Q getting tossed. You know I'm pro getting tossed.
Yep.
You know I'm pro fighting. I'm going to ask JJ Piccolo about it. I'm curious if he's pro fight. He's such a level-headed guy. There's no way. He reminds me more like, probably more like Vinny. I bet he's not, because Vinny's not much of a fighter. We've talked to him about this before. He's not trying to cause a dust-up, even though he did go over on the dirty slide, we think, and at least say a couple of words.
Yeah.
But so, you know, a little
side
of that.
Q was correct last night.
Oh, he was.
The plate was blocked, but you can't challenge it. You can't, quote-unquote, argue it, and that'll get you tossed, and that's fine. I think, though, the one thing that continues to just be unacceptable while this team is winning, I understand they won last night, the base running is just
absolutely abysmal.
I mean, and there's some times where, hey, a little bit of bad luck. I understand. Sometimes it's a hard line out and you're just caught in a bad spot. But it's happening game in and game out. Game in and game out. There's somebody. It's not always the same person. There's a few guys that's happened to more than once.
It was
twice.
Blanco and last Renfro, night, Renfro. And there was a couple.
And if you are going to struggle the way they are offensively, you cannot give up free outs on the base paths. And that is, of course, what happened again last night. Fortunately, they were able to recover, and Vinny hits the home run. Tonight, by the way, Michael Lorenzen going up against Birdsong. So another decent pitching matchup, 2.31 ERA for Birdsong this year. Now, I don't know how many – I don't think he's pitched that many innings so far for them. But
okay, so I'm guessing he's going seven shutout. Look, based on just the way that it's going right now in offense, it just is what it is. We hope that it doesn't exist that way. But at least they're not letting it get back. For as quickly as yesterday, Gold, were like, they're in fourth place in the division. Well, they're in second. They're tied for second place in the division today. The Tigers lost last night. The Guardians lost last night. The Twins lost. Everybody you needed to lose lost last night.
Yeah, I guess Birdsong actually 23 and a third innings so far. He's got 25 strikeouts. Just a 1-0 record. That's who the Royals will go up against tonight.
I mean, I guess I'll stay up again. I kind of like staying up for these West Coast games now that they're only 2.5 hours. Does that move the needle? Does that help anybody?
It helped last night. Like, it was quote unquote late, and a lot of people totally understand if you went to bed. I mean, once that game was over, I immediately turned off the TV and went to bed. It was like I was waiting, and that was once Estevez got the save, I was done. It was time to go to bed.
Did you even hear Hud say?
No.
You saw Estevez
strike
get the
out,
and you're
strike
like,
out, and I was out.
And
strike out, and I was
Man,
done.
Man, you can fall asleep that quick?
I was
up
out
for another like 90 minutes after that.
I couldn't go to bed. I think I was probably out within 5 to 10 minutes. That's all I can remember.
And then the storms woke me up in the middle of the night. They were loud. Yeah.
No, I slept right through.
Getting old, man.
I slept right through.
Dude, it got loud as hell at like 3 in the morning.
Did it? I'm not even joking. Did I? I had no idea.
Yeah. Back me up, Drew.
Strong thunder.
Like, house shakingly loud at 3 in the morning. Yeah. I cannot possibly be the only person.
No, I'm sure you're not. I slept through. Dog woke me up for her normal whatever to go out to the bathroom like at 4:30 in the morning. I let her out real quick.
Getting old, man. She got like a small prostate.
This whole thing. I'm serious. So it is shifted
up in the middle of the night
in the last 6 months, and she's getting older. So I do think, unfortunately, that's a big part of it. But before, you know, she would wake up at like 6:15 or 6:30. I'd let her out. I'd feed her, and then I'd hop back in bed for like 40 minutes or whatever. Now it's a 4:15 or 4:30, sometimes a 3:30 in the morning thing, and it's not fun. But I usually can go back to sleep pretty quick. So
it was loud last night. I mean, I don't know. Someone said, I woke up at 3 a.m. as well. Someone said,
Drew's used to the house shaking at random hours. That's true. That's true. Drew's
different energy.
Drew's
you know?
Apartment does have that at times. We've definitely
a little more attuned to it.
Established that. Mm-hmm.
Last night though was three a.m. You're right, Cody. It was the way that my apartment complex works too. Is it's almost like the sound is funneled in between all the buildings because it's not the buildings form a rectangle essentially. So if there's sound below, like down or in between, it stays there. So the thunder was reverberating.
It's different part of town, maybe.
It felt like it shook my house around 3 a.m. Yeah.
Different part of town, or I just slept through it. One of the two. I'm not sure.
There was a branch in my front driveway.
Was what it was.
Yeah. There was a branch in my front driveway from a maple tree, which I only have in my backyard. So it went like over the house.
Yeah, I had the power, like, at, I don't know, you guys, 5-ish, 5:15, the lights flickered twice or something, and that was it. That was as far as, like, an actual problem with the storm class. Other than that, it was fine. I know it was way worse. There was some serious flooding going on, flash flooding going on some of the highways in the area.
I saw 35 coming my way.
Flood-prone areas of the city that we're all used to at this point in time. But other than that, yeah, I didn't lose power. It just kind of flickered a little bit.
No, I didn't lose it either, thankfully. I know a bunch of people did, just not you or I guess, or Drew. Apartments always feels like they should be on a bigger grid. I used to, when I lived in Waldo's, when I lost power way more. I don't feel like in this house. I feel like I've lost it like one time. I don't know.
Yeah.
A different grid or a different part of the city.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like when I lived there, it was like 4 times a year I'd lose power.
Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get right back into the Royals with the general manager and the vice president of baseball ops, JJ Piccolo. He joins us every couple weeks here on the show, and we do have a ton to get into with him, including what happened in the last couple days with the minor league level with Mazzucato and, of course, Cags getting promoted. So that's coming up in just a bit. Meanwhile, with the Chiefs a little bit, our friends over at Arrowhead Pride, we're going through basically the breakdown of expectations of each division in football, and they were alluding to a few articles that were out there about this division challenge, and Adam Schefter and some others basically with, you know, their assessment of the challenge the Chiefs are going to have to deal with in their own division. And is this the toughest AFC West that Patrick Mahomes will face in his time as the starting quarterback to this point in time? We know the Chiefs have dominated this division. They're chasing down the Patriots AFC East record, trying to see if they can get that.
They
are a couple years away from being able to do that, but seven straight division titles, right? So
I guess the way I view this is, the answer is probably yes. Like, it's kind of hard to argue otherwise, because this has got to be, on aggregate, the best quarterback play as a collection they've gone up against. Geno Smith is a superior upgrade to what they were running out of quarterback last year for a 4-win Raiders team. Broncos, let's say, are the same. Even if the Broncos and the Raiders the Broncos and the Chargers are the same, the Raiders are significantly better on paper just at quarterback alone and at coach alone, if you add nothing else into the mix and have no question about it. But I'll say, I think that there's been years in which it's been harder at the 2 and 3 spot than this year, because while maybe this isn't the toughest, they've had a couple of good quarterbacks in the division at the same time that caused problems. Derek Carr is at times, at some point, threatened a division against them, you know?
Yeah, so, by the way, 9 straight, sorry. 9 straight AFC West titles. I think I said 7. The quarterbacks in this conference and in this division in particular now, I do think you could argue with where the coaching and QB combo pairing is at, is as good as we've seen. You're right, Derek Carr, when he was playing at his best, was the second best quarterback in this division. But you have Herbert paired with Harbaugh, who has a proven track record of success in the NFL.
Yeah.
You have Bo Nix, who looks like he's going to be a very nice starter in this league. I still think his ceiling is fairly low, but he's going to be a very nice starter in this league. And he's paired with a coach that's got a ring and has had success. And then we know Pete Carroll's had success, and he's paired with a quarterback in Geno, who
he knows.
I don't think Geno has been as good the last 2 years. His first year in Seattle, he was great. Last year, I think he was fine.
He was pretty good, yeah.
He was fine. But fine, by the way, is better than most of these teams in this division over this stretch of 9 years that they've won the AFC West.
I'm trying to go back through it. What was the division, the year you thought they were closest to losing it under Mahomes, I guess, is part of it? That year where Derek Carr beat him on a Thursday night late in the season? I mean, you know.
Probably would be the year where Mahomes missed a couple games due to an injury very early on in his tenure, right? I mean, at that point, you knew he was good, but you're still in the early stages, not knowing how dominant they were going to be. Maybe that was it. I'm bad with the exact years from the divisional perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd have to go back and look in particular. I think just from a quarterback,
from a record standpoint, it would be one of those like 12-5 years or something, maybe like in 2021.
I look at it more of just who's the coaches and the quarterbacks. Who do you actually consider a threat, if there is anybody that's going to be a threat? And that's where I would look at this year compared, certainly compared to last year or the year before. I mean, this is not that I think the Raiders are winning 9 games and the Chargers are winning 12 and the Broncos are winning 10. And so everybody's going to be above X amount. I just think if we were being honest with ourselves with the quality of QB play, there's at least a baseline I think everybody's going to get.
Yeah, I agree.
It doesn't mean that there's a Josh Allen in their division. Of course not. But you know, I think now this year, nobody's starting Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew. No offense to him. He's now a backup in Kansas City. But nobody's starting those guys. They're starting legitimate starting quarterbacks in this league.
Guys who are getting paid money. I went back. 2021 appears to be maybe the closest for all the teams, I guess. The Chiefs went 12-5. Raiders 10-7. That was the year they beat them on the Thursday night. It made it kind of close, I guess, a little bit late in the season. Chargers were 9-8, and the Broncos were 7-10. So all the teams were at least respectable, but I don't expect it to be way harder than that. One of the four teams in this division is going to be 7-10. One of these teams is going to be, and it's probably the Raiders, right? In fairness.
Yeah.
It's probably them again, and that they won't get up and running fully in year one, and Ashton Jeanty can't just ride them into, you know, a 10-win, 11-win season. I still think the biggest problem with saying this is the most difficult, and this is where they'll always run into this problem. Yeah, it's more difficult than the AFC East, but there's still a sizable drop-off between Patrick Mahomes and, at the very least, Bo Nix and Geno. And, like, or depending Herbert, on where you want to put Herbert in there as well.
Yeah, by the way, where would you rank out the quarterbacks real quick? Not what we think their careers are going to be. Right now, Herbert is still the second-best quarterback.
Herbert, Geno, Bo Nix after Mahomes.
Ooh, see, I would actually put Geno. So I would flip Geno and Bo. I think the way Geno played last year, that level is not any better than Bo Nix. Now, have I seen better years out of Geno? Yes. Can he get back to that is the question. I'm not sure he can. I think, you know, Bo Nix, ceiling-wise, as I said, is low. But if we're just basing off what I saw in the last calendar year, Herbert would be the second-best quarterback in the division, then Bo Nix, then Geno. But Geno has a chance with Brock Bowers and Pete Carroll again and all that to try to show that they can. I think Geno is just, he got paid. Good for him. He revitalized his career. He got paid twice now, I guess. And he last year was a very, very average quarterback in Seattle.
He was. And I guess this might just go back to the thing that, like, if you make me rank out how things typically go in the NFL, Bo Nix to me is one of the five most likely regression candidates at the quarterback position. That would be a very common turn from year one to year two, and everybody gets tape on you. And even if, like, the Broncos are going to require everyone in their offensive line to stay healthy. They had the best offensive line in football last year.
And they'll have that again, though, this year.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Presumably.
You know what I mean? Right? Like, they have the same players, I should say. I don't know if they'll be the best. But
so, like, the question for me is always, like, the way the Chiefs, the injuries are kind of an ebb and a flow. You lose one guy in there. What does it look like? How does Bo handle a little bit of pressure? Those things, I still got a little bit of question about. We'll see. I'm not anti it. I would rank them. I'd say it's close. I'm not saying, like, Geno's way better than Bo. I would just still probably technically rank.
I wonder if it's
Geno
a little bit harder, not because of the court, not even because of the quarterback stuff, but because of the coaches and the way that they've continued to build the teams around the quarterbacks. Like, if we just go off of last year alone, the Raiders were competitive at times, but they weren't that great. They already upgraded, of course, in Geno, but they get Ashton Jeanty, continue to add a little bit. They re-sign Max Crosby. The Chargers only got a little bit better. They've already had the quarterback, already had the coach. Broncos got better on the defensive side of the ball, as well as some of the things that they did on offense as well. It feels like this is just in terms of memory, not necessarily because, yes, Derek Carr, I think, is better than Geno Smith was or better than Bo Nix is and probably as good as Justin Herbert has been in terms of production in one single season. But I think it's more of the outlook of what the teams look like that makes this actually really difficult for the Chiefs in comparison to years past in terms of winning the division. I think we easily could see two AFC West teams make it again, and it could be 10-7, 10-7, and 11-6 or 12-5, you know, as the division winner.
I might just be too comfortable. I still think the Chiefs are going to win the division by two or three games every year.
I think they'll win
every year. I don't know. Maybe it's not that, but
my thing has been, okay, you know, if you think the Chiefs are going to win fewer games, and I do, they're not going to win 15 this year. Okay, let's say you even think they lose three, or they win three fewer. Okay, that's 12. The Chargers won 11, the Broncos won 10. So you're still saying, in that scenario, the Chiefs are regressing by three wins, and the Chargers have to improve by potentially two to win it outright, one to force a tiebreaker. The Broncos have to improve by two to force a tie in this hypothetical, three to win it outright. Like, that's my struggle. The Chiefs can regress by three. The Chargers, to win it outright, have to win, you know, improve by two. And by the way, two from 11 to 13, that's a big jump. So that's where, yeah, I still think the Chiefs are winning this division. I don't know if they win it by two or not, Cody, but we've gone through this year after year, and I understand that the Chiefs for the next decade will not, the next decade are not going to win it, okay? The Patriots didn't do it. The Chiefs are not going to win 20 straight division titles. I fully understand that. But Mahomes is still in his prime. Andy Reid is still coaching. Kelsey's still on this team. Chris Jones is not 36 years old yet. Like, yeah. There's too many things here where this is, to me, not the year where it happens.
I think it was the Chargers ahead of the Broncos last year, correct? The Chargers were higher.
They won 11. They won 11 games.
That makes me think that Denver is the one. If there is a team that's going to beat the Chiefs in the division, I actually think it's the Broncos, because the way the third place schedule would line up compared to the second, plus the defense, and you mentioned the offensive line. In terms of positional grouping, the Broncos, I think, might have a stronger stronger O-line than the Chargers
do. Oh, the Broncos' defense is legit, for
although,
sure.
I don't know who Bo Nix is throwing to a lot of times. Like, I'm still not impressed by their weapons.
Vele is the guy. Yeah, Vele,
like, if you're even mentioning that.
Vele and Sutton still, right? I don't think they added anybody in Troy Franklin, I guess. I don't know if they added anybody.
The wide receiver room for the Denver Broncos heading into the season. Cortland Sutton, obviously, is the headliner. He's legit. Cortland Sutton, Marvin Mims, Devon Vele or whatever, Mims. Troy Franklin, Pat Bryant, Trent Sherfield Jr., Evan Ingram, they did bring in at the tight end.
Yeah.
Who's their running back? Because they lost Javonte.
They drafted what's his name? Oh my gosh. R.J. Harvey. Yeah.
Right.
R.J. Harvey.
UCF.
Did you guys see that whole thing? R.J. Harvey. Sean Payton sent out a tweet. It was something like his daughter approves of the pick or something like that. It was like a weird Facebook or Twitter
weird thing
post.
To say.
Yeah. Because his daughter was interviewing R.J. Harvey or something.
Oh, got it.
But
okay.
The way it was done was a little weird. But anyway.
Sounds R.J.
Harvey,
bizarre.
Omar, we got a bunch of young running backs. And this was our whole issue with the Chiefs backfield, but whatever. Hampton, Harvey, Genty. Three new running backs, obviously, as we know.
Everybody go, I told you, same plan. Let's do it again. Veteran coach. Now we all got our running back. What else are we guys going to do next year? You guys want to, they have like a cookout together and try to like collude with one another to try to figure out some way to beat the Chiefs in this division for the first time in a decade.
All right, coming up next, we get right back into the Royals with the general manager of the Royals, JJ Piccolo. We'll ask him why now is the right time to promote Cags to AAA. We'll also try to figure out a little bit more about potential timeline on a couple guys that are on the IL. That's coming up right here on Coach.
Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Being gold. Just getting started here on a Tuesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get to the latest on the NFL meetings going on today, including what sounds like a push from Roger Goodell to get the playoffs reseeded. I told you, I'm not a huge fan of it, but we'll get into that. Plus, it seems like there's been some alteration with the push, I guess, to get it removed from the game and then what that could mean for the Philadelphia Eagles moving forward. So we'll get to that coming up in just a bit. But let's talk some Royals baseball. They, of course, are out in San Francisco. They got the win last night, and we are joined by the general manager and vice president of baseball ops, J.J. Piccolo. He joins us every couple weeks here on 96.5 The Fan. Good morning, J.J. Appreciate you joining us. Obviously, want to get to last night and where this big league team is at. But for starters, let's just get it out of the way here because people were wondering what changed, I guess, and what was what did you guys see from Cags? Why was now the right time to promote him up to AAA?
Yeah, well, to be honest, like nothing changed. He just continued to dominate Double A baseball. You know, it was really good to see. He's, you know, we all know he hits the ball extremely hard, and that's his, you know, superpower. But we started to see some improvement in some of the decisions he was making on what pitches to hit and what pitches to lay off. And quite honestly, the level just wasn't good enough for him the way he was playing over an extended period of time. So we thought it was time for him to take the next step. You know, AAA, the pitching's better. Pitchers can game plan, but more importantly, follow a game plan better than AA pitchers because they're older, smarter, more experience, and that's the right next step in his journey to the big leagues.
When you guys drafted him last summer, I mean, if I would have told you then, like, the ideal quote-unquote timeline even just to get to AAA, like, is this kind of best case scenario for him to get up to AAA this quickly?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, over however many years I've done this, I don't know how many players that we've had in their first full season that go to AA and just really dominate the league and now are in AAA. Obviously Brandon Finnegan back in 2014 was a different situation. He was a pitcher and we brought him right to the big leagues pretty much after a stop in AA. But you know, this is the first that I can recall, and just happy that he's doing what he's doing. I mean, a lot of credit goes to our scouting department in identifying Jack with the sixth pick last year and have a lot of confidence in moving forward and selecting him. And Jack has exceeded expectations. You know, we knew he was good, but until he gets out there and plays, you don't know how good he really is or how long it's going to take for him to get to AAA. But certainly he's on a fast track, clearly.
I know even in the front office, as you're getting a little bit of the comparison game, like our morning show host mentioned Adam Dunn. What, for you guys, who do you kind of envision Jack Caglione, who does he remind you of in the big league levels? Is there anybody that he kind of comps to?
Yeah, I mean, Adam Dunn, I can see because of the power, but Jack is going to be a more complete hitter than Adam. Adam struck out a lot. I mean, very good major league player. I think he's going to be able to control the zone better than that. You know, honestly, like what we hope he develops into, and I'm not saying this is who he is, this is what we would like to see, is some version of a Pete Alonso. I mean, that's, you know, a left-handed version of Pete Alonso. Pete makes a lot of good plate decision or pitch decisions. He's got massive power. You know, he's turned himself into a pretty good defender at first base. I mean, and coincidentally, those two went to the same high school, you know, so it's kind of weird. You know, that would be excellent for us, you know, and really, you know, the thing we don't want Jack to do is to try to be anybody but himself. I know that the comp game, we do it in the scouting world all the time, and it's just part of it. But Jack needs to be himself, you know, whatever version that of Jack that it allows him to be the best major league player he can be. That's what we'd be happy with that.
Funny enough, we learned about Pete Alonso when we ripped some baseball cards of them. Are you a baseball card guy at all, JJ?
Growing up, I very much so. Not as much here in the last 15, 20 years, but as a kid, I was at card shows pretty much, you know, every Saturday somewhere.
Do you still have a couple of things from your collection as a kid?
Oh yeah. No, I do. I got a ton of stuff.
Is there one or two cards
COVID allowed me to go back and look through all those cards and kind of file them better like a lot of people did during COVID.
Yeah, no, the card market boomed during COVID for sure. Is there a card or two that I guess you just right away you're like, all right, this whether it's the quote unquote best card or maybe it just has some real sentimental value or something.
Yeah, I've got a 64 top set postcard set that there's some Hall of Famers in there, so that set stands out. You know, Mike Schmidt rookie card just because he was my hero, you know, growing up. So they're the two, and when you ask that question, come to mind right away.
Let's talk about the big league club. Let's start with Chris Bubich last night. We've already, at some point this year, talked to you about why you guys maybe felt comfortable trading Brady Singer and Chris Bubich being a part of that. But even to this point, he is a legitimate Cy Young candidate, JJ, based on the early performance this season. What has made him so dominant in your mind?
Well, first of all, he's commanding the ball exceptionally well. You know, he's got above average stuff. He's got three pitches. And when you're commanding those three pitches, you know, it's hard as a hitter to defend against that. And last night he had that backdoor breaking ball going that really just froze a lot of hitters. And he was landing it very, very consistently. And when pitchers can do those types of things, they get a chance to have great outings. But with Chris, he's always been a guy that prepares well, studies well, very intelligent guy. And, you know, a lot of what we saw before he got injured and then what we saw last year out of the bullpen is what gave us the confidence that we could count on him to be in the rotation. Now, did we expect him to be pitching to a 1.74 or whatever it is right now? Probably not. But we expected him to pitch well, and we had a lot of confidence that he would. You know, I think what he's doing right now, I mean, it's really, really exceptional. After the game last night, you know, and I think you have asked me this question before, does he have an innings limit on the year? You know, right now he's on pace to throw about 195 innings on the year. But the real reason why that he's on that pace is he's been so efficient with his pitches, even in striking guys out, that he's getting deep into games. You know, usually guys that strike hitters out, the pitch counts get high. It's more of a 5-6 inning, but he's been so efficient with his pitches that, you know, he's getting into the seventh inning regularly. And we had a hard time after the game trying to come up with innings where he was really, really in heavy traffic. He got in some traffic last night, but he hasn't had a stressful inning the entire season. So he's just matured as a pitcher. You know, obviously we're really happy that he's done that. And, you know, we look forward to him pitching every fifth day.
We're talking to JJ Piccolo here on 96.5 The Fan. Obviously, in the last week, you guys did have to put Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo both on the IL. Do you have any indication at all on where the timeline could be for both? I know they're two completely separate injuries involving each player.
Yeah, we feel very confident that it's, you know, very likely. I mean, who knows what can happen, you know, during these 15 days, but, you know, right, if we were betting on this, we would expect them to pitch in 2 weeks. You know, they'll get their 15 days. With Cole, it was just a really a fatigue tightness issue. It wasn't a re-injury to his groin. And with Seth, he's got a little swelling in his finger that has already gone down. And we expect them to make their starts, I think it's the end of June or end of May, early June, when they can come off the IL. And we would be disappointed if they weren't able to make those starts. So luckily they're minor, and we felt like at this point, this is about the entire season. Let's not push through these things and potentially lose them for even more time.
Because of the off days, can you guys get away with a bullpen game? Is there somebody else in AAA you'd look to? I know you guys just brought in Rich Hill or Avila. Like, just, I didn't know who you guys were thinking there.
Yeah, no, we'll see how tonight goes. But, we didn't use the bullpen much last night. Sunday we used four relievers, but it was very minimal pitches for each guy. So we're in a position to potentially go bullpen tomorrow. But if we're not able to do that, we'll have to decide who's going to come up. And we have a couple options for that. It's just a matter of, I still think regardless, it'll be a day where we use five, maybe six innings out of the bullpen, regardless of who comes up. So we will probably just take who we think is our best arm from Omaha.
Cody mentioned Rich Hill, so I wasn't planning on asking you about him, but he's 45 years old. Obviously, it's an unbelievable story. Last week, everybody, at least listener-wise, everybody's like, where did this come from? I'll just ask you, what's the story behind what you guys see there, and potentially what could that mean?
Well, for one, we had some injuries, I'll say, in AAA where we didn't have the depth in our rotation in AAA that we feel good about. So we were looking for a starting pitcher, and we have a special assistant named Dave Wallace. You might be familiar with him, but a long-time major league pitching coach with the Dodgers, Red Sox. Dave is a special assistant for us and has a lot of history with Rich Hill from Rich's Boston days. And he reached out to Dave Wallace and said, I've been throwing, and sent Dave some video, and Dave's very familiar with him. So we thought it was an opportunity. It's hard, when you need arms, it's hard to get your hands on arms. You look at other teams, they're not trading guys just because you need some pitching depth. So here was a guy that's got experience. Dave's very familiar with him. And Rich was willing to go to AAA. So he's in Arizona right now getting built up, and not sure what the timeline is for him to get to Omaha, but it shouldn't be too long.
Are you ever impressed by someone's competitiveness? At 45, he's certainly earned enough, JJ. He doesn't have to keep working at it. And he's like, I'll go to Omaha. I just want to pitch.
Yeah, no, that's pretty special. He has no reason to continue to pitch with the career that he's had, but obviously there's a love for the game. He feels like he can still perform at a level that will help a major league team. The other thing that's great about that is, regardless of where it goes with Rich Hill, the time he's spending in Arizona right now, he's helping other players get better. It's hard when you're 18 years old and you watch Rich Hill work. How can I get better? When you're watching a guy that's done it for 20 plus years, and then when he gets to Omaha, there's a wealth of knowledge there that Rich has that our guys will learn from it. So there's a lot of benefit to the organization when you have a guy with his experience in minor leagues with your younger guys.
Speaking of Royals general manager JJ Piccolo, I want to ask you about one more thing that happened in the game last night. Q gets tossed because of the, I think, correct complaint about blocking second base there from Dairon Blanco. But I've always said on the show that I'm pro a little fight every once in a while, JJ. I think it brings people to their feet a little bit. As a general manager, are you pro getting in an argument every once in a while? A slight brawl here or there?
Yeah, I'm not going to say I want to fight. you want the competitiveness, and just the way Q came out of the dugout. I was joking after the game, I've never seen you run so fast to get out there. But players get frustrated with that. That play is a very difficult call for the umpires. Every time we have a play of that nature, there's one team that disagrees with what the call was. I think the umpires, by and large, would love to see that as a reviewable play. The managers wanted it to be a reviewable play, and hopefully that play becomes reviewable next year, because it is the one most consistent play that creates the most controversy over the last several years. But to see Q come out there, if we're in a tight game, players get fired up about that, so there is a residual effect. It's not intentional on Q's part. It's very natural. But I think guys like to see their manager fighting for them once in a while. And that play is very frustrating, and middle infielders can't stand it, and runners can't stand it. So the timing was appropriate.
That, of course, involved some base running, and one of the frustrations, I think, from some fans here, in addition to where the offense is at, is just, hey, some of the mistakes maybe on the base paths. What some of it is it just wrong spot, a little bit of bad luck? What are you seeing from the base running, where obviously when you've struggled to get some guys on base, and then there's been some free outs given up?
Yeah, no, that's frustrating. Fans have a right to be upset about that. We've made some poor decisions on the bases. We're trying to be aggressive, because we're trying to score more runs. Regardless of what anybody tells you, when an offense is struggling, guys feel it. So now you're pressing to try to do more. And last night we ran into three outs last night. We gave them an inning's worth of outs on a line drive double play, a pickoff, and a first to third that really wasn't a first to third. That there was no way anybody was going to make a first to third on that play. So we gave them three outs. But I think that's a sign of an offense and honestly, like human beings pressing because they want to do more and they want to score more runs. We've always said if we're going to make mistakes on the bases, be aggressive. I'll put those plays in a semi-aggressive, but they're pretty easy reads in last night's case. And we got to be better than that. And those guys know that. It's just one of those feelings when you're coming off the field, you're like, what have I just done? There's no question whether or not you should or shouldn't have gone in those cases last night. It's pretty cut and dried. But we got to be better than that, to be very candid. We got to be better.
Last one for you, JJ, before we let you go. We appreciate the time with the Royals general manager here on 96.5 The Fan. I know we're not even to Memorial Day. That's coming up on Monday, but when do real conversations, maybe they've already happened, about ways that you could improve this offense, whether those are internal or external options?
Well, internal, they're going on all the time. I mean, that is a constant. I don't think we go more than 6 hours without somebody making a suggestion, throwing something in the Slack channel, an idea or two, waiver claims, et cetera. But when they become real discussions, I still think we're a little ways away. There's only a couple teams that are right now probably willing to talk about any of their players. If you're 5-6 games under 500, even at this point, maybe 10 games. I mean, the Tigers, I think, inspired a lot of teams last year with what they did from August 1st on. I mean, they were kind of, left, like they're gone, they're out of it, and next thing you know, they're in the playoffs. So I think, teams want to hold their players longer in case you go on a run like the Twins just went on. So I think we're a little ways away from really having discussions that pick up. But I can promise you the internal discussions are never ending.
JJ Piccolo joining us here on Cody and Gold. Appreciate it as always. We'll check in a couple weeks.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There you go. That's the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, also vice president of baseball ops with us here on 96.5 The Fan.
Seems like he got to see Vinny's home run based on it. Sounds like he was there if he was telling Q he hasn't seen him run.
Yeah, I think he's on the trip. Yeah, I think he's on the trip.
I take the trip out there. That's a beautiful ballpark.
It is. It's now called Oracle. It's changed names like 7 times.
You've been there, right?
I have. I definitely want to bring the jacket or coat. I'll tell you that. Even if it's a nice day for the first 2 innings, it's going to be freezing by the end of the game. Right off the water there.
Yeah, it's a little bit. That's where I got married in San Francisco. Then we went to a game that night.
Right.
Went to a Giants Dodgers games. There were multiple fights.
I think multiple. I think though, and we'll get into what he had to say about Cags later on in the show. But I think we've all talked about the offense and the issues there. The base running thing might be the most frustrating thing right now.
Even more than just like swinging and missing or not getting guys home.
And you heard him acknowledge that, there's some of those mistakes last night, particularly, just can't happen. Those cannot happen at the big league.
You're getting aggressive trying to go to third and they make a perfect throw, so be it. Mm-hmm. You're just leaning off the base for no reason in the Hunter Renfroe case and getting clipped when it's like you weren't going first to third there. And like to his point, also you're Hunter Renfroe. Like there is a point of like you're not the guy to be trying to steal the extra bag either, even if the ball goes all the way through to home plate. What if the pitcher stops it? What if somebody else stopped? Like, just too many things can go wrong on that play, especially for an offense that's struggling. Don't run into outs. Do not run into outs. Don't toot plan your way through the base pads for, 2 straight weeks.
I know the timeline can change, but I did like hearing on the Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo front.
Yeah, that was great news.
As of right this second, they don't think this is going to be a longer term thing for Reagan's. Things can change, but I definitely liked hearing that there's a chance maybe it is just a quick stint on the old IL and both of them could be back First week of June or whatever that would be in terms of the timeline. We'll get back into what JJ had to say on some of that stuff, plus what he said about Cags and why now is the right time for him to get promoted to AAA as Cags does begin AAA portion of his professional career, I believe, tonight out in Salt Lake.
I know I'm old. I'm not trying to pretend like I'm not.
I know you I'm old,
just,
he says.
Just hear me out.
Okay, all right.
I understand the issues I've had with my knees or feet or other things. What the hell's this? What the hell's this targeted email I just got from the Kansas City Orthopedic Institute, who I've gone to stuff? So I respect it. This hurts a little bit. Okay. I'll be honest. They've done great work.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate everything they've done for me. Mm-hmm. The email I just got from them said, quote, when is hip joint replacement the right option? Why?
Well, the right target.
Why did you do this to me?
The right target, man. They know about the super bone.
I don't have problems. I've had no current hip issues. If this had said knee replacement stuff, I'd kind of respect it. Mm-hmm. Maybe that is one day in the cards for me. I might need knee replacement surgery one day. Hip replacement? Man, that hurts.
So many people hear with the knee replacement stuff. They're like, the rehab obviously is hard work, but then when they're done with it, they're like, it's the best thing they ever did for those that actually have knee problems.
Oh, I'll be there one day. I mean, I have knee problems
there's
now.
There's a good chance a lot of us will. Yeah.
You know, the knees.
I'm
how's
sure
your back been doing, I guess?
Every once in a while, it tightens up. It's not anywhere near what it was for a while back. Yeah, it's much better.
I wasn't
much,
even
much better.
Just said when to consider a hip replacement. They're like, listen, man, we heard you talk about.
Do you fit anything that it's saying you need to do?
That's a great question. Yeah. I think it's more just like living with chronic pain can significantly limit your enjoyment of life when non-surgical treatments and joint pain like physical therapy aren't enough.
Don't let it control your life. Cody?
Learn more. Not in my hip and my knee, probably. My feet, clearly, right?
Yeah.
We can talk about many of the surgeries I need. Just hip replacement. That hit me with a certain level of age I wasn't prepared for.
Hip sounds way older than if you need your knees replaced. Like, knees are the thing, but like hip sounds even older.
My grandmother recently got her hip.
That doesn't help.
She was 90 when she got it done.
Someone says, Drew, you'll need hip replacement if you keep squatting 250.
Yeah, that's right. I know.
That one was just tough.
How about this, though? Someone said their wife's only 38, has had two fake hips for almost 10 years.
Wow.
Was there a reason why she'd break them? An accident or something?
Dan over on Twitch says hip replacements to win the hot dog derby, pretty much part Android at that point.
Yeah, you get
give
new
myself
knees.
A medical advantage.
Yeah, get new knees and a new hip, Cody, and you might be ready to roll finally and not be over in the hot dog derby.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one day. I actually want to win the hot dog derby before I have any surgeries because that might very well put an end to it, you know?
You should claim this gold from the 918, it looks like. Alex has back issues from carrying the show so much.
Wow.
Damn.
Wow. Says Cody requests off so much time. Drew's a Bengals fan. Enough said.
Wow.
Tough to hear, you know?
Right.
Tough to actually, in fairness, the last time I was off, Alex and I were at the same time.
We were. Both
except for the
in
one
California.
Hour yesterday, but
that one important. Extra hour. We're keeping track.
That was important because it was good, by the way. The way it worked is like it was a big line.
Yeah, you were gone for your daughter had like a wax museum.
She had a living
thing.
Wax museum. Okay. So the idea being like you stand up there and they're telling you about the history of the person.
So you walk up to her and it's like, I'm Beyonce.
Yeah.
And she reads a bunch
she
of
says,
facts, right?
She talked about when she was born, where she came out of. She talked about when she left Destiny's Child and became a solo artist. You know, like you get a little bit of a backstory. That's an important part of her timeline, you know?
And if you like it, then you should have put a ring on it.
There were I try to pay attention to some of the other kids. I want them to, you know. There were a lot of different historical figures. There was other musicians like Billie Eilish and some other ones, and then just like classic stuff. Abraham Lincoln.
Presidents, yeah.
Yeah, like Abraham Lincoln. Patrick Mahomes had two.
Really?
I will say the kid who had LeBron James was wearing a Steph Curry jersey, and that felt like a bit.
So he should have been Steph Curry.
That felt a little off. I felt like, you know, look, you know, maybe can't, you know, get it, but like, I felt like I needed to get him a LeBron jersey or he needed to do Steph.
Yeah, that's one. That one's interesting. Was it just a basketball player and that was just essentially?
I don't know. Maybe just like to, you know, he was in a Steph jersey and he was his wax museum character was LeBron James.
All right. I'm glad it went well.
Only two Patrick Mahomes. That felt low.
I'm surprised they allow duplicates. Hey, man. Rock, paper, scissors, you know?
Yeah, you guys got to figure this out. Maybe it's different because there's two different classes. Maybe per class, there's no repeating allowed. I didn't see more than two of anyone, but maybe outside of
that. I don't know if this is weird, but the way that it's interesting, like American figures, like in terms of not popularity, but like a really big deal. Not that Steph Curry or LeBron or Beyonce aren't, but I picture older people traditionally considered American.
No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah. There was Sir Isaac Newton. There was, you know,
like big figures.
Classic.
Einstein, all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Not that they have to be dead, but, you know, it's like you want to appreciate them when they're, like, in the moment. I think it was kind of cool appreciating Beyonce now as opposed to waiting.
Her friend did Princess Diana and was dressed in, like, the sweatshirt and short, you know, like her classic look. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's not a single kid who gets this outfit. But immediately you're like, yeah, that's how Princess Di dressed. Makes sense. I liked it. I liked the commitment to it. It was fun. For anybody who was curious why I missed the show yesterday, I had to go to a living wax museum.
People at one point yesterday texted in the 1 o'clock hour and thought you were dealing with the birds still. But no. Yesterday was a rough day for the birds. We'll get to the trash of the day.
In general,
Not just the two birds that were in our studio, or at least our building. There was a bird issue at a baseball game yesterday. And then I guess there's a bird trafficking problem too going on some parts of the world.
Somebody on Twitch suggested that somebody should have done Chiefsaholic. I would have died.
Oh my gosh.
I would
American icon.
It would have led the show today.
Jeez.
If for some reason that was somebody's historical figure.
Someone says, are you guys team Ryan Clark, team RG3, or is it a dumb rage bait? Yeah, I'm going to sit this one out. I would say I think it's dumb, but also I'll sit that whole one out. I don't think I should be part of that conversation.
The whole Andrew Reese, Caitlin Clark thing, though, might be one of the biggest stories in sports over the last couple of days.
It's great for the league.
You need it.
Caitlin Clark in action tonight. Let's get another triple-double tonight, please. Thank you.
The gold card doesn't go up till June, and this week could be the week you get the PSA grade back.
There's a chance. I'm waiting for the grade on the rookie card, and then it'll be in the golden auction in June. But yes, we're waiting. It's a waiting game at this point.
Make me one deal. I want to find out live in the audience does.
Okay.
So if you get the grade back at like 7 o'clock tonight, I don't want to know.
Okay.
You can tell me you got the grade in.
Yeah.
I don't want to know the grade.
Okay.
Live with the audience, like on the show.
Yeah, there's a chance it's this week. It could also be, I truly don't know. I mean, I think there's a chance by the end of this week, but it could also be next week. So I'll definitely tell you guys what I know. But yeah, I will not send out a tweet. I will not text you guys until we
address it on the show.
I'll make that promise.
I want to find out like everyone else.
Okay, you know? That's fair. Hey, up next, though, we didn't get to it there as we obviously had a good conversation with JJ Piccolo. I want to talk about what the NFL is considering doing today. A lot of things on the table that could impact the playoff seeding even. That's next.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down. We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.